Hello and welcome to All the Overs, the only Essex cricket podcast. I'm Terry.
I'm Cheese.
And I'm Owen.
And we talk about Essex cricket and pretty much that's it. So, wow, it's been a really interesting couple of weeks. Cheese, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Very happy it's starting to get a bit more bright and sunny now.
I know, the dizzy heights of the upper teens in temperature. That's nice. 17.5 my car clocked today. That's quite nice. So, yeah. Owen, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. I managed to play some cricket and watch some cricket, which is good.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. So, yeah, I managed to get a game in beautiful North Essex. And then, yeah, watched an afternoon after work at the county ground.
Yes, it was very lovely. Cheese, you've not managed to get down, but have you managed to keep a weather eye?
Yeah, I've been staying abreast of everything, clocking the old YouTube streams when I can as well, just to get a little bit of a fix here and there.
I found out, I think it might have been on Tail Enders. They interviewed the chief exec of ECB. The streams get the same amount of views, like cumulatively, as when BT Sport did the Premier League rugby.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so they get the same amount of views like during the day, so when most people are at work. So that's pretty good, I think. You know, it's holding up against, you know, decent viewing figures on that stuff.
It's holding its own. That's really good. But I suspect then. I wonder how many mobile phones and devices were kind of, you know, stationed in drawers and under desks and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's a way forward, isn't it? It's like less and less young people are going to watch live sport, according to the stuff I've read. And yeah, go online quickly, in and out. It's great. I think it's great on social media now because the counties have got, especially Essex, have got proper coverage, haven't they? It's not, remember before when it was just a static camera behind the sight screen? And when they're like, oh, that Alice Cook's hit a four and you see someone play a shot and then everyone's standing around because you can't see it go to the boundary. But now they've got multiple cameras, obviously someone editing it. It's great, you can watch the highlights now, watch proper bits of Essex. It's great. It's amazing what they've done.
Yeah, it's come on leaps and bounds. Like, as much as COVID was a huge curse on all of us, there's been some, you know, benefits off the back of it, and this is one of them.
Well, they say disaster breeds innovation, don't they? So, you know, I think, I mean, I've been really impressed. And I wonder if eventually that might be the way that all, you know, because people consume their sport, their television, you know, through online media now, don't they? I think, you know, is that going to spell the end of actual broadcasting at some point? Possibly it will.
I can't see. I've got a woman at work who watches telly, and she comes in every day and goes, "Did you watch this on telly last night?" It's like, you know, who watches telly? You know, it's. I'm going to let the BBC decide what evening's viewing is. You know, it seems so archaic.
She might be of a different generation.
Oh, she is. Yes, she is. Yeah. I find that it's like it takes me back to when we were younger, like when we were. Well, I guess before university, before YouTube was around, when if you wanted to watch something, you had five channels and that was it, you know, or Sky if you were lucky.
But. Yeah. And you had to run, like the program started at like 8 o'clock and you had to run home.
Yeah.
To sat in front of the TV in time and you'd be kicking yourself if you missed the opening of something. Yeah.
True story. You might enjoy this. So, you know, the classic film, The Shining.
Hmm.
I had it recorded on VHS during my childhood and early 20s before I bothered getting the DVD, and I misrecorded the first opening 10-15 minutes. So I've seen the film and I know all the classic bits with the girls in the corridor and all that stuff, and hit a bit in the bathroom, but I never knew what the film was really about because I missed the opening premise. So I watched it loads of times without really knowing why they're in a house and why does this bloke goes crazy. I still enjoyed it, but I've never really understood that the ending was always confusing.
It takes away some of the impact of it when you've not got the start. It's like, oh, just watch the end. Don't need it.
Yeah, it's Jack Nicholson, isn't it? It's in a good film and not really knowing why these guys are in a house. So, yeah. It was a hotel, wasn't it? Sorry.
That's all right. That's, yeah, it is in a hotel. Here's Johnny. Really good film. But anyway, we're here to talk about the cricket. We've gone off on a bit of a tangent, but that's okay. That's what we do. So cricket, there has been some. So shall we delve in? And I, you know how I like to do things chronologically, because that's just the OCD in me, and I don't say that lightly. So we had Lancashire, and that has I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit concerned, because I always get twitchy when we play Lancashire, because, you know, for the strength of the side. But, you know, predictably, Cheese, you were, I believe you said that you thought actually it might be a, we might have a decent shot, because there were certain players that weren't on the lineup for Lancashire, and we won by an innings and 124 runs. Yeah, absolutely superb. And I think it's worth having a look at the why. So what are the standouts and the you know, performances that kind of struck you, Cheese? Anyone that you were massively impressed with?
I wouldn't say I was massively impressed with people. I think a lot of people put in a real shift and alleviated some pressure that was building up on them. So Cushy, we spoke about coming in, big shoes to fill with Brown, like not being a part of the squad for the first few games, first couple of games. It's definitely a Bazball style of cricket that he's been instructed to go out and play and potentially use as his way into the England side as like further development. With that is high risk, high reward. Hadn't quite clicked those first four innings. So for him to come in when people were kind of like, this experiment's not working anymore, let's bring back Brown, let's look at this and get that 50, I think was really good for him and really pivotal just to settle the nerves and promote some confidence in, actually, this isn't an experiment, this is the direction we want to play our cricket and take the game away from people very early on and put ourselves on the front foot. So I thought that was really good. Same with Wesley, someone who's not been out of touch, but also not been flourishing with his cricket. So for him to get the 81, build on the platform by the openers, and really just kill off Lancashire's chance of coming back into the game, I thought that was quite pivotal. And then from there, we really just didn't let go of it. It was one of those cases like, we're on top and we're staying on top.
I think that's a really good comprehensive summary there, Cheese. Owen, over to you.
Yeah, it's a pretty good summary. It's great. I think for me, sort of a standout player might be Shane Snater. You know, he's got four wickets, then three wickets, so really vital to the innings. But overall, I agree with Cheese. I think we've spoken about this many times over the years about how it's great that Essex put team performances in, and we're not wholly reliant on, you know, if Cook's having a day off, we're stuffed, or if, you know, Elgar's not batting well, we're stuffed, where you see other teams where they are reliant on one or two stars. Mm. So I think it's great that Essex, by and large, are at their best when we are all pulling together. And that's why we've got a team that's not really full of superstars, like other teams have got, with, you know, people that are, names we recognise all over the country, apart from probably, you know, I guess that Elgar is. But we've got a team that are all at a very high quality, all pulling together in the same way and all support each other. And that's one of the great things. And it's awesome when that comes together and you smash a team, like a very good team at Lancashire in a few days.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if we go back sort of 3-4 seasons, and certainly going back to when we first started doing the podcast, you know, we focused an awful lot on the idea that we had a couple of batsmen that kind of carried the batting performance, and that we relied really heavily on our bowling, and we, you know, we we quite often come together after a game and say, you know, oh well, it was the bowling that saved us, and you know, we talk very much about the kind of imbalance across the squad. I think over the seasons, you know, certainly now we're in a much more balanced all-round position. So that idea, Cheese, that you said about that everyone putting in a shift, it's a genuine team performance across bat and ball. And that's, I don't think that's something that we've been able to boast, you know, like kind of really confidently for quite some time. So yeah, I'd agree with both of you there. And I think this puts us in a really good position, you know, to be able to say we've got a win against Lancashire. In terms of the openers, I completely take what you say about Cushy. The Elgar, again, you know, just proving his worth. You know, but when you look at those numbers, your first four batters have got, you know, what was it? Cook nearly on a half century, therefore, and just missed out. That's seriously impressive stuff. I'm really, really chuffed and trying not to get too excited. It was really good to get down to the county ground. Actually, just getting down to the county ground was just so nice. It's like, you know, when you you get home after like a holiday, or you know, a really tough few days at work, and you just kind of sink in. And you know, I had the really nice paella as well, so you know, that helped. But it was a really, yeah, really nice experience to be back and enjoying some cricket in the sunshine too. So
yeah, I think we're going back to the batting though. I think people forget that, not forget, but they don't appreciate, you don't really need, everyone's putting together, you don't really need people going hitting centuries every single innings to gain a large total. If the top batters are all averaging around the high 30s, and they're doing that regularly, you're accumulating huge totals by everyone doing their job. So if you look at the scores, obviously Elgar and Wesley 79 and 81, but Cushy 53, Cook 49, and then Cox 28, Pepper 30, Bain 34. It just you add those up and suddenly you've got several hundred runs. Without having to have someone to get 150 to win by an innings. So that's for me, it's the great thing about the new batting lineup, is you've got a lot of people who you go, yeah, he's probably not going to be scoring double centuries anytime soon, but he'll get 30, 40 runs, and that's all you need. Just, you need 5-6 players doing that and job done.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So that was very pleasing.
Should mention though, a debut though for can't remember his name though. Oh, Ronnie McKenna, the 19-year-old. If you know, the second teamer from Basildon.
Yeah, came in last minute substitute, didn't he?
Who would have thought? Three broken fingers, and then yeah, he gets called up.
Three broken fingers.
Yeah, so Washington's injured finger, Pepper injured finger, Cox injured finger. What do you have to do? Phone up a bloke from Basel who plays at the academy, and then he's keeping wicket.
I mean, that's a run of bad luck there.
Unless you're Ronnie McKenna, great luck.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, well done to him. So, okay, let's talk about Durham then. Yeah. I know. I'm not disappointed with a draw.
I am.
It's better than a loss. But what was just this is my little funny. I started texting around because I had a doctor's appointment on Friday afternoon, and I managed to get. I was in Chelmsford sort of at tea time. I was texting around going, "Has anyone done? Anyone want to go and catch the cricket?" So it's in Durham, unless you can like magically transport yourself to Durham in the next couple of minutes. I just my brain just went. But it was really sad because I'd got myself all excited. I was like, oh, I've got so much time. I can get, well, not loads of time, obviously. But anyway, it was a way. But yeah, good. Talk us through the disappointment then, Owen.
Just the rain. I think it's another win that we can't get because of the rain. I'd see how it's.
Is it last season again playing out?
Yeah, it's already happened. I know it's. Everyone's in the same boat, and we've actually been luckier than some. We've got more results than other people. And you look at people like poor Worcestershire, whose ground's flooded again. And also Northamptonshire as well. I was surprised to see that looking like a lake. So we can't really complain. But for someone that you think Essex have got a chance of winning the title, and Surrey's games aren't getting rained off as much. I just think that. Or we see nothing happening, we'll end up second or third due to the amount of draws. When we've been commanding positions where if it wasn't for the rain, we'd absolutely smashed it.
Jeez.
Thoughts? I don't know. I think you look at the first innings, they got 358. We didn't break the partnership that they built. There's no guarantees that would have been a win if we'd have not had the rain interrupt and us lose a day. I mean, it's likely we'd have got the result. You'd back the players given the time and the ball in their hand to do something, but it's a generous view to say it's a definite win without it.
Okay, yeah, it was strong, but yeah, I thought it was strong, a chance of winning.
It's definitely a chance, and whenever they can't play and they can't play to completion, it is disappointing because you just want to leave it all out on the field and you want to watch the game unfold with the highs and the lows. It will all wash out, you know. That result there is probably the one from the start of the season where we got our win and Surrey had theirs drawn because of rain and everything else. How much of this will still be a part at the end of the season, we don't know. At the end of the day, if we beat Surrey twice, the rain shouldn't matter. And that's what will really determine stuff.
Yeah.
I think back to like the first preview pod we were doing, and I was very grounded and like, this could be relegation. This isn't, you know, a stronger team. And the team have allayed those concerns, but there's still so far in the season to go, you know. I wouldn't say we're championship contenders just yet, just because we're at the top of the table. I would say we're playing and performing very well. Everyone's got to maintain and keep this up. It only takes two wobbly games. We're down to fifth. You know, we've done the good things well that we've kind of commented and talked about over the last couple of seasons. I think we're leading the whole like county championship for batting bonus points, something that was unheard of before. So that's really positive and really good, but it has to be consistent. It has to stay through. The Durham game itself, there's great positives to take away. Like Brown being out of the team, coming back and then hitting that huge score.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible. That's what we've known he can always do. Again, it's the consistency. Does that score now warrant his return to the side more often? Or if he does come back and then he goes, I don't want to say back to usual, but he doesn't follow that up with a reasonable knock, do we then adjust? Like my biggest question around the team so far, and I know injuries have played a part in it, as we've touched, because Rossington's not in the squad and we've had to have the sub and everything else, what's our best 11? I don't think we know that yet. Like Walter was in, Walter's out, Noah's in. He looks an absolute talent, but probably can't play a full season. That's a lot on a young 19-year-old to handle. So is that going to be a constant rotating position? Cook at night watchman, unbelievable scenes, unbelievable talent. I didn't expect that as a pick, and he's obviously done that very well. Is that always going to be the case? What about the games that he's kind of injured and has a little bit of a rest for? Like, we seem to have a good understanding of our identity as a team, I don't think we have the understanding of who's the 11 that make up that approach week in, week out.
Yeah, but my question, do we need to, though? Because if we've got the talent and the consistency across the board anyway, do we need to have that consistent 11?
But do we? That's the thing.
That's like, the question.
Do we have the consistency? Well, this is Essex and we've never been consistent. This is like the first year that we've done the first couple of pods and gone, oh, look, consistent batting performances. Aren't we happy? Look at the change in approach, change in tactics and all that hard work on the training ground paying off. You know, yes, we've got the big scores, but we're less reliant on the big scores because everyone's chipping in with these 30s and 40s and we're building up this holistic approach that looks very promising. But we're only four games in and we haven't completed two of those games. Are we going to see that through the next four? What happens after the break for, is it T20 first or is it one day cup first? Because we've only got another three or four games and then it's a month and or so off.
It's the blast next.
Yeah.
What, so the one day cups during the 100. Yeah.
So we've got Somerset, then we've got on the 17th of May, it's Warwickshire at home, and then Kent away on the 24th, and then on the 30th, that's the blast, and it's two days in a row, and we go, oh crikey,
it's good again from the ECB. Games back to back.
Yeah, but look, but they're both away.
Yeah, it's big. All the players complain about it that they're travelling through the night, not recovering.
That's crazy. They're going from Bristol to Taunton. I mean, that's, and it's, oh my goodness me. How are the,
at least it's Bristol to Taunton and not Lords to Taunton.
It could be worse, obviously, but it's far from ideal.
It's just a weird calendar. I think we play Kent twice in the county championship before we play Surrey once.
Yeah.
And I don't quite get it. Because surely it'd be better to play everyone like a proper round robin. You go through everyone first and then you play everyone again and everyone understands. Whereas, let's not be too demeaning to Kent. If you play two weaker teams and get two wins, it's not a true measure of strength compared to playing the whole league and everything else. And I'm not quite sure the reasons why, but it's a bit odd.
It is odd. I mean, we don't play Surrey for the first time. It literally, like knocking on July. That's that's really interesting, actually. So I wonder who makes the decisions around that.
ECB, yeah.
No, I don't mean like the organisation. I mean like I'd be interested to see. So you know how you have like those, like, so obviously we're in at the time at school now where we are mapping out the calendar for next year. We've pretty much got it, you know, sorted. But you know, we sit around a table and we look at what the key events are. We do the spacing. We try and make sure that, you know, we spread the load, that, you know, the teachers that, you know, might teach across lots of year groups, that, you know, we're not doing lots of back-to-back parents evenings, but all that kind of thing. But you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that you know, scheduling meeting, and kind of see some of the rationale. But anyway, let's come back then. So we've got Somerset next.
Yeah, that's probably an interesting challenge, isn't it? Somerset next. You just had Brown come into the team to replace Wesley because the birth of his child, and you've got
by the way, and family,
and then obviously Walter was, he's got an injury, hasn't he, that I believe is now recovered from. So then you've got, so I think one person, you've got, there's like two people that are going to leave the team, either Nick Brown or Noah Thain or both. Do you keep Nick Brown in the team because of his performance now, and then don't have Walter in the team, or do you just say thanks for doing a job for us, amazing that you smashed that, but I'm afraid it's back to the seconds because you weren't part of our strategy in the first place?
Yeah, I really don't know. And where'd you put him if you keep him? Do you go Cushy down, Brown back to where he always has been, or do you say, right, you found some freedom and some flourish in it? Was he in at three or four?
With Brown,
maybe, yeah, that's a
way down. Spot. Four, but then you want Sank opening to everything. You've probably been three,
okay, yeah. So it's not too different, but there is a different pressure to opening to following up. And also with the wicketkeeper injuries. Is Pepper back? Are we going to play?
This Duke guy from Yorkshire. He's going to stick around, I think.
Okay. So that's a weird one in the mix. I don't think you want to rush Cox's injury given his batting performance. But do you sort of say, actually, this is too much of a gamble? And
yeah, I don't think he'll be keeping this season, from what I've heard. So next season, that throws things wide open, but it'll be quite interesting. But at the moment, I don't know how bad an injury you have to, I guess because the bowler is so much quicker than the force in the fingers. They could reopen a hairline fracture. But yeah, I think with Brown, though, is that the big criticism of him from the Essex fan base, and obviously there's a large section of them are not Brown fans, is that he does these double centuries every now and again. He's amazing, and he's incredible. He can bat really, really well, but then he gets lots of ducks and single fingers in between those. And also, in cricket, when you're a bowler and you bowl a bad, also a batsman hits one amazing shot, you don't suddenly start changing the field for that shot, do you? You get to the original strategy, and I hope, and if it keeps happening, then you don't. So same thing, surely the same thing applies to this. You've got your strategies to try and win the championship. Brown was a part of that. He's come in, done something amazing, but do you change the strategy just because of one good innings?
It's a tough one. And also, if it was a weaker team, you could ride it out and experiment a bit more. But Somerset aren't to be sniffed at. I know we're kind of lauding Lancashire before the game, and now we look at the table, they're dead last, and it looks like they're having a bit of a stinker of a season.
Still a good, I mean, they always do, don't they? They're still a good team. You've got Test match players in there. So,
yeah, it's a very hard to judge the strength of teams at the moment, I find. In another 2-3 games, I think we'll have a better understanding.
Yeah.
And Somerset's just a tricky team. So it's not really one you want to drop the ball at because they can punish you.
Yeah, and they seem to be hungry for it. Because they've been so close over the last 5 years, and they've never ever won it. And you sense it. I've done two or three trips down to the Taunton. I was lucky enough to have some work down there a few years ago, so I could pop in after my gig. But the whole thing that they want to win the championship, they've got real drive, a real hunger for it. Adds to the deck consistent performances, obviously not consistent enough to get over the finish line, but they are one, they're a bit like Essex. They are great. They're a team that's greater than some of their parts.
That's a good way of putting it.
Thank you. I think we've got over the fact that they gave a dodgy pitch to you a few years ago, haven't we? Moving on from that.
Yeah, because I'm so good at moving on.
Well, they gave us a dodgy pitch, but we still won the title. And then,
yeah,
arguably, we gave them a dodgy pitch a year or two later, and they got aggy about it. So it all balances out.
It all balances out in the long journey of cricket. Yes.
The thing is, though, with the weather warming up, I'm not sure the weather's like down in the southwest. But yeah, hopefully, dry pitches. Hello, Simon Harmer.
Yes, it's certainly becoming Harmer weather, isn't it? So, which I'll certainly be looking forward to. I'm hoping that the weather holds out. I'm just looking at the forecast at the moment. There is the chance of rain. I've got the Magic app, haven't I? So that gives me just that little bit extra. And I also then have the one that I can use whilst the game is in play. If you come across an app called, I'm probably not meant to be like selling apps. I'm absolutely not advocating for it, but it's an app that one of our farmer friends uses, so that he can tell exactly when it's okay to go out and do his work on the farm. And it tells you, doesn't give you anything beyond the next hour, but it gives you a really precise radar of exactly where rain is, and you can literally see like almost down to the kind of half mile where the rain's going to be. So I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on that over the course of the next few days, because kind of my new toy. But anyway, I think it's going to be useful. I'm hopeful for tomorrow, but I think, you know, as you say, Cheese, you know, we've still got a lot of the season to go. We're certainly not comfortable yet, are we? I'm predicting a win anyway. I'm erring on the side of optimism.
I'm calling a draw. I have a feeling Somerset are going to draw all their games.
Well, so it's four draws so far, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's be the ones to break the run. In the right direction. That's what I'm hoping for. So, anyway, any other burning news or anything to add? Because I think we've kind of.
I found something out. You know, so how Cook opened the batting and the bowling.
Mhm.
Turns out Graham Gooch did this like a couple of decades ago.
Okay.
I didn't believe it. Some bloke on social media put it in there, and the Everything Essex group. I thought, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And he put a scorecard from Wisden up, and he had Graham Gooch open the batting, obviously, and then he opened himself bowling and took 7 wickets. So I thought, that must. Oh, why is that in a lot of Essex folklore? So it's worth Googling. There's no explanation why he opened the bowling, but he did that and took 7 wickets. Didn't even know he could bowl. Yeah.
Act of the fortnight. Notice it's not a Victorian story.
No, they're few and far between. I'll try and dig one out.
Yeah, I was looking forward to those, but yeah, I've been looking as well. But your Google searches, I think, are probably a bit more comprehensive than mine, because I get bored when I'm looking. Well, if I don't find what I'm looking for straight away, I just give up. So
I'll try and find the next fortnight.
That sounds good. Right. Anything from you, Cheese, or are we wrapping up?
No, we'll do it next time. I was going to talk about Essex being a venue for the women's cricket, and we're one of the 8 tier 1 clubs now, which is quite impressive, but we can do that next time.
Very quickly then, now. We've got a couple of minutes.
We've got a couple of minutes.
To be honest, I've only skimmed it, so I'm not as au fait on the subject. It's an impressive achievement, and it will hopefully enable us to do like women's internationals and stuff, and tie into redevelopment plans and stuff like that, from what I've read. Because we drew together a lot of support from the local regions, so we now run from basically Stratford all the way out to Norfolk as our like catchment base.
As it should be, yeah. I think it should be. We are the East Anglian team, really, aren't we, in terms of support base? If you live in Suffolk, you're going to be supporting Essex, aren't you? So,
very true. We've got a broad base in terms of what.
And if you next time at the county ground, either have a, if you're on your own, I always eavesdrop into people's conversations. It's sometimes fascinating, mostly trivial and dull, but sometimes quite fascinating. But people around, you might notice a lot. I see a lot of caps from cricket clubs in Suffolk, a lot of people talking about playing cricket in Suffolk. So yeah, that makes complete sense. I think it's great that the women's, also you play in it, there's a thriving women's league, isn't there, in Essex, the Beaumont Senior. It's got 2 divisions, playoffs, all sorts. So it's proper league.
It's a seriously set up, and it's really encouraging to see that that the level of engagement, but it is increasing, you know, at a really rapid rate. I mean, the demand, the supply is not meeting the demand at the moment. And I think there are certain teams that are just kind of not overrun, but they, you know, they are looking to expand their sides, which is really fantastic. But it's great to see that the competition's being taken seriously and the infrastructure's been put in around it. So
yeah. It's nice. I captained a team with some women cricketers in them. So our opening bowler is a woman. She's played for the Essex Youth System. Very, very good bowler. Yeah, and it's nice. It's the fact that now when you email a captain, go, look, we've got two women playing for us. You know, can you accommodate the changing facilities? 6 years ago, it was, you know, either radio silence or really awkward, and you got put in a cupboard or something like that. So it's like it was like laughed off, not laughed off, but like dismissed as like, we'll just go in the toilet, you know. Whereas now it's you see clubs actually having building change rooms, converting old storage space into proper facilities for the women cricketers, which is great to see.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a sea change, so that's great.
Yeah, it is good. Also, I think I know of at least two clubs in Essex with women's second teams, to show that you tell me the supply of women cricketers coming through.
Exciting time. So cheese, we can come back to that in our next pod.
Yeah, I'll do a bit more reading on it, because it was more than just the ability to host women's games. It was an interview with the chief exec about what this could potentially mean on top of that, and how Chelmsford could go from a 5,000 capacity to a 10,000 capacity if this sort of plan and this appetite comes off.
I did know that part. I knew Essex women going pro, and I listened to that No Balls podcast, the TMS women's podcast. Mm-hmm. Listened to a bit of that when I was doing laundry, and apparently it's really shooken up the women's like market for players, because suddenly you've got there's two new professional teams, and like, are they going to just take their team and make them professional, which has its ins and outs, because if you're like, I don't know, a woman lawyer, and I don't think it's going to cover the salary you'd lose. I know non-league clubs have that problem when they turn pro, and they're Or are they going to just go like, are they going to hunt for players from like the Sun Raiders and all that, and the current established teams? So yeah, apparently it's creating waves, exciting waves, but also it's unnerving a few squads.
Okay, well certainly we'll table that for 2 weeks' time. So thanks, Cheese, for dropping that in. That's fantastic. Something to look forward to. It's been great to see you guys. I'm sure we'll keep in touch over the next couple of days. And if you are at home or in the car or on the train or walking the dog listening, thank you for tuning in, and do reach out on socials. We'll look forward to having a chat. So until the next time, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.